Rick Robinson is in the studio with me tonight. He lives in Fort Mitchell as an attorney. He's been active in local and national politics and is proud to be always from Ludlow. He's the author of several novels, including Writ of Mandamus, which was named Grand Prize winner at the London Book Festival, and Manifest Destiny, which was a winner at the Paris and New York Book Festivals and has been optioned for a film. He's twice been named Independent Author of the Year. Tonight we're going to talk about his latest novel, which is titled Alligator Alley. Rick, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So although it might not sound like it on the surface, it seemed to me that Alligator Alley is something of a fictional homage to your growing up in Ludlow. And I'd love for you to describe the main character, who begins by telling us, if hitting 50 is the new 40, I'm not sure I want to stick around for 60.
Well, the character is this guy who has just turned 50. He's headed down to the Everglades for a birthday by himself, and is reflecting on his youth, reflecting on where he is at his point in life, and really trying to decide if it's all been worth it, if the steps he's taken, if the zig here instead of the zag there, is what he really expected out of life. And when he gets down to the Everglades, he goes searching for the memories of his long-lost great-uncle. And when he starts finding some of those, the relics of those memories, he gets a little more than he bargained for.
Well, this uncle that he's searching for actually has a couple of names, and he's a role model for the main character, but not one that he followed. But he sort of idolizes him, I would say. Is that true to say?
He certainly idolizes him, and he didn't follow him because, in fact, his great uncle is not the avenue to success that growing up in a small town people would have for you. When the great uncle was a certain age, his wife told him, it's me or the fish, and he left and moved to the Everglades. And that's what he has memories of, is going down to the Everglades and learning how to fish and do all the things that he had done with his great uncle, and really bringing himself to this point of, I've been successful, but I've been successful by whose definition?
Well, because Uncle Gator actually lives with the Seminoles in Florida. Their name for him is Jolita.
Jolita, yes.
So he really has chosen an alternative life to the sort of classical stairway to success that most folks think they're supposed to achieve. And how do you think that affects the main character in terms of his, what he chose in life and where he is now?
Well, I think what happens to him is he takes a look at the generational differences between himself, his parents, the kids that he sees on the airplane, and realizes that everybody has come up with a different definition of what success meant. To his parents, success meant working at one place for 30 years, getting a gold watch and a defined benefit program, and retiring. To him, success meant moving from job to job, each time moving up. But he looks at these kids on the airplane as he's heading down to Florida for this vacation and realizes that they're more in the moment. They're more in the instant. And what he comes to realize is that that's what Uncle Gator did 30, 40 years ago when he was termed at that point. One side of the family called him a Renaissance man and the other side of the family called him a louse, depending on who you were talking to. And so he looks at this situation and he tries to define what really success means to him, what matters to him. And maybe that the kids today who take a look at life and realize they're into more instant gratification, whether it be from job or whatever it is they're doing, maybe they're the ones that write. Maybe he's the one that has it wrong.
This is a departure from your other novels. And if you would talk a bit about what their focus was in general and what inspired this change for you.
Well, it's funny you say that. It is definitely a departure for me. I've written 5 political books, 4 of which being political thrillers, the other being a book of political humor. And imagine going to your publisher and going, okay, we've spent several years now building up a good readership in all of these political books. What I really have is this idea for this coming-of-age novel. And your publisher kind of looks at you and goes, yeah, that's not such a good idea. But I have a very good publisher at Headline Books and convinced her that this is something that I always wanted to do. And when I say I always wanted to do it, I started thinking of this novel when I was 17 years old. And I got to spend a day with the great Jesse Stewart, who was the poet laureate of Kentucky, named by many as the Mountain Laureate of Kentucky, who wrote these wonderful novels called The Thread That Runs So True and the High for the Hunter. And he wrote these great stories about coming of age in the mountains of eastern Kentucky. And so I wanted to write this novel after I met him about coming of age in a small river town. Problem was, it took me 50 years to come of age. And that's really a large part of what this is about, is for those of us who haven't come of age until age 50. This is a lot of what's going through the mind of someone who waits that long to come of age.
And or I think that it is also true that we tend to think of coming of age being at 18 or 21. But in fact, all of our life, we're coming of age. So to, in your 50s, be, or 60s or whenever, be open to growth, new
change.
Ideas, new,
exactly.
Change.
Exactly. This book, the tagline for this book is, if you could change, would you? And since this book has come out, it's been very gratifying that I've had people call me from all over the country who have read this book, who have dropped me an email or made a phone call that have said, it's not too late for me, or saying, this book was written about me. I don't know if you know my position in life right now. You don't know me, but this book was written for me. And so that's been really cool, a cool position to be in, is to have that kind of reaction come from your readers. Who, I'm in a genre, as we just discussed, where people don't know me yet. So that's been very gratifying.
Did you want something from your readers? Did you expect it? Or has this just been a wonderful serendipity in terms of the response?
It's been a wonderful serendipity. I was actually very nervous about putting it out because it's not only a change in genre, but it's also a change in format. I wrote this one first person instead of third. It's very personal. You sit and you write that and you put it out on the page and you're hoping that somebody out there, at least one reader, likes it. So it's been very, very nice to have a lot of folks come back and have that type of reaction.
Say a little bit about what direction you think your writing life will go in next.
Well, for those people who have read the Richard Thompson series, not to worry. Richard Thompson will be back. And I'm right now writing The Advanced Man, which is the next sequel in the series. I met Harlan Coben several years ago, and Harlan is, I think, the greatest thriller writer out there today. And Harlan told me, every four novels, give your main characters a break so they can have a new haircut and psychotherapy. You know, they're in a situation where a lot of death and mayhem is occurring around them. Every now and then, they start to get a little sour in their mood, so you can put them away for a book or two. So I put that away doing that. I'm also working on a sports thriller with a friend of mine called Killing the Curse. Cubs are in the World Series, so, you know, it's fiction. And we're working on that. That should be out by Christmas. And then the cool one that I'm doing, something, again, totally different, is that I'm helping Landau Eugene Murphy Jr., the winner of America's Got Talent, the kid from Logan, West Virginia, who sings like Sinatra. I'm helping him write his life story, and that one will be released in partial form at Book Expo later in the month.
Thanks for visiting with us tonight, and we'll certainly expect to see more of you with all these irons you have in the fire.
I'll be glad to come by each time we put one out, and thanks for having me here tonight.
Wonderful. Good to be with you. I've been talking with Rick Robinson about his latest book. It's titled Alligator Alley. You'll find more information about it at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.